You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Expect God's Help.
There are very few words that you and I might hear that are more shocking or discouraging than when a doctor says to us, "We have done all we can and there is nothing else that we can do." These words usually signal that defeat or disaster or even death is inevitable. This, however, does not have to be the case. You see, when a person has exercised all his strength, expended all financial resources, and exerted his best mental processes, then the Lord is still available. Man's ability has limitations, but God's power is unlimited. When man can no longer do anything, then God can still do everything. Now, when we say God can do everything, we are not echoing the message of plaster of Paris plaques or catchy bumper stickers, and neither are we repeating the popular philosophy of a man-centered power of positive thinking. The good news from the Bible that God can and that He wants to help you, even in impossible situations, is a basic teaching of the Bible. God Himself is making this wonderful promise to you today. One of the best examples and one of the clearest examples of hope in impossible circumstances is recorded in the Old Testament. Joshua was leading his men into battle. He was fighting against the wicked kings of Canaan. The odds were against Joshua, as we sometimes say. God, however, was for him. The Bible then explains that God told Joshua and his soldiers to be brave because he, God, would help them to gain the victory. Joshua and his army were fighting against enemy soldiers who were united under the wicked kings from four other cities. These enemy soldiers had heard about God's power at Jericho, and they were afraid of the Israelites. Oh, out of fear for their own lives, they tried to fight. However, they soon turned and they ran the other way. God, however, would not relent. He sent hailstones from the sky, and these hailstones fell upon the frightened men. In fact, so great was God's intervention that these hailstones killed many more enemy soldiers than had been killed in the battle itself. Finally, in desperation, the five enemy kings found a cave in the mountains, and they ran inside. They tried to hide. Someone, however, saw them, and word was sent to Joshua. Joshua then commanded that heavy stones be rolled in front of the opening of the cave. Soldiers were then posted to see that the kings did not escape from their prison. Then the Israelite soldiers chased their enemies over the hills and through the valleys of Canaan. These soldiers did not want to let even one of the enemy get away. Now, when Joshua saw that the enemy soldiers were scattering everywhere, he became very concerned. You see, Joshua realized that many of his enemies might hide in the woods, and then during the darkness of night, they could come out again and fight against the Israelites. Joshua believed that God wanted him and his soldiers to destroy completely the enemy. Joshua did not want to give them another chance. Joshua knew, however, that the day would not be long enough to destroy them all. So the Bible says that Joshua did a most unusual thing. He spoke to the sun and to the moon, and he commanded them to stand still. And the Bible says that the sun and the moon stood still. And while the sun and the moon remained motionless in the sky, the Israelites fought and gained the final victory. Oh, nothing like this had ever happened before in history. Never had God listened to a man's voice and caused the sun to stand still in the sky. Last week on this program, we recalled another story of Joshua when he and the children of Israel brought down the stone walls of Jericho by marching around the city seven times. That story is, you might say, unbelievable. And today we have read another true event of history where Joshua, in order for his army to complete an important battle, asked God to make the sun to stand still, and this is exactly what happened. Now, of course, some people think that these are all tall tales from the Bible. These are interesting stories, some say, but they could hardly be true. Things like this just don't happen. And then they also add that maybe these stories are good for little children to hear in Sunday school to inspire them, or even for older people to fortify their faith in their sunset years. But, some say, these unusual stories of city walls falling and the sun standing still are hardly acceptable for a thinking man or someone who is educated. However, my friend, before you make that judgment, let me tell you about another event that took place in the fall of 1989. That's only a few years ago. Beginning in June of 1989, peaceful demonstrators had been gathering in sizable numbers at St. Nikolai Lutheran Church in Leipzig, Germany. These demonstrators were meeting every Monday evening for fellowship and Bible study. And after much prayer and singing and reading of the Bible, somebody suggested that if they wished that the atheistic wall of communism were to come down, or as we call it, the Berlin Wall, why not look to the Bible? It was then further suggested that they check Joshua chapters 5 and 6, the story of the fall of the wall of Jericho. So on September 17th, the demonstrators began to march around the inner wall at Leipzig in lanes 6 wide. They did this same thing the next Monday, and by the following Monday on October 3rd, the group had grown to 50,000 people. The government now began to be concerned, and they said that on the next morning the demonstration must be broken up, or something very terrible would take place. The military then began to prepare, and on October 9th, patients not needing full care were released from local hospitals. Extra blood plasma was brought in from other medical centers. Clinics and infirmaries were made ready for a bloodbath, and the army was put in the state of full readiness. And so then Monday, October 9th arrived. 50,000 marchers were present, but then, through a strange set of circumstances, the government decided not to confront the demonstrators. The police were ordered not to shoot. And the evening passed, and this unusual turn of events of no military confrontation became an immense victory for the demonstrators. Those involved, of course, now gained more courage, and attendance at the following Monday's demonstrations was as follows. On Monday, October 16th, 150,000 people turned out. On the next Monday, October 23rd, 200,000 turned out. And on the following Monday, November 6th, 500,000 turned out, a 500,000 demonstrators. And then, precisely after the seventh time, or the seventh week, that the people marched around the inner wall of Leipzig, the Berlin Wall came down. It came down with the suddenness of the walls of Jericho. And all of this took less than 30 minutes. That the wall could be breached, and suddenly the border guards relaxed their restrictions, and individuals could now travel from the communist side to the free side into West Berlin. The radio announcement took place at 7 p.m., and by 7:30 p.m., the people were already moving. Now, without a doubt, there will again be those who will greet this documented historic event with doubt, derision, and perhaps even laughter. Their logic and reason prevents them from admitting that the God of the Bible is still at work today among believers. And the bottom line in all of this is very, very simple. It is not that God cannot do these things. It is simply that when he does, in our doubting unbelief, we simply refuse to believe them. And so then the stunning situation described in our text for today, where Joshua asks the sun to stand still, and it does, and that a similar event was repeated only a few years ago, this is a clear reminder for all of us that God is in the heavens. Oh, God is waiting. Yes, God is not only waiting, but he is willing to help all those, including you today, who turn to him. And this is also, my friend, why it is so important for all of us to hear that there is no problem in life too large. There is no difficulty too great. There is no hurdle too high. No family problem too difficult. No pastor's task too challenging. No teacher's assignment too extensive. And no missionary journey too long that God cannot enable us to accomplish this. And when necessary, as the Bible teaches, God certainly can, and sometimes he does, intervene directly. Now stop to think for a moment. Who hasn't heard from a mother's lips these words? I have totally given up. There is no way to help my son. Or who hasn't seen a pastor throw up his arms in desperation and confess that he is tired and worn out and that there is no way for his congregation to ever be effective in the community by bearing fruits of love? Yes, who can count the number of bankruptcies that are filed each year or the innumerable families that are forced from their homes because of foreclosure? Oh, indeed, it is true that God wants us to come to him with every little concern, every problem that pops up in our lives, and every frustration that forces its way into our being. But God also wants us to come to him with the big problems in our life, situations when all human hope seems impossible, and when even divine intervention is logically ruled out. No one can ever say that God must do this or that. We cannot demand that God act in one way or another, but we must come to him and let God decide that which is best for us and for his entire kingdom. When the fear of failure faces us, when the odds of impossibility block every road that we would like to take, and even when our neighbors tell us there is no hope, then it is time to turn our faith toward the face of God. Yes, then in sincere, fervent, and persistent prayer, we need to knock and knock and knock again at the door of God's throne room. And even if the devil tempts us to believe that we have sinned greatly and that we have no connection with God and that we have no right to approach him, we must then unite our voices with the Apostle Paul and say that we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so now then, let me tell you how God himself wants you to approach him. You see, this is the key to it all. We must not believe that by simply becoming religious, we can then connect with God and please him. In Hebrews chapter 1, in his word, the Lord tells us that over the years he has communicated to us through the apostles and the prophets. In these last days, however, God has made himself available to us. He has revealed himself to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Get connected with God through Jesus Christ, and when you are connected with the Creator of the universe, then no challenge can be too great, and no problem can ever be insurmountable in your life. Indeed, some of our difficulties are so great, and some of our problems are so complex, and some of our best efforts seem so futile that we want to give up. And it is exactly at this point in life that we need to recall how God heard the pleas of Joshua and intervened. God made the sun to stand still, and he did this so that his children would win the battle. When we feel we need the same act of God to overcome our difficulties, then we need to throw ourselves on the grace and the mercy of God and to trust the words of the Apostle Paul when he writes, "And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Apostle Paul then concludes with these special words of comfort, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not now also in Christ give us all things freely?" So today, my friend, as you look at your life and as you are concerned about how you will face the future, remember that you have access for help from the same God who caused the Jericho walls to fall and the sun to stand still. These are not legends or fairy tales. Similar events have happened in recent years, and they can happen in your life also. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.